are you?
I'm Tom Quackenbush, fantasy author.
Daniel, who are you?
I am a local artist and wage slave.
Amber, who are you?
I am a farmer, artist, garden maintenance, overworked lady.
Okay.
You got too many. I feel it's unfair.
Fine, Daniel! Expand on yourself!
Secular occultist!
Yeah, that's really all I got.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true.
I didn't say Tom expand on Daniel. I said Daniel expand on yourself.
Well, from what I heard, Daniel's been expanding an awful lot this week.
But we'll get to that later.
So welcome to Q's in the Pod, the podcast where we don't have a theme.
That's right. We're off the rails.
Crazy pants.
Where's it going? Who knows?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Not even God.
Well, that's because God doesn't exist. And if he did exist, he's stupid.
God is the collective unconsciousness of everyone. So the collective unconsciousness of everyone doesn't know where this is going.
Well,
that sounds fair, yeah.
Although, but still, given relativity and like given how small a section of humanity is like in the span of the universe, like that still doesn't make a whole lot of sense because
all consciousness.
Yeah, but we still have no evidence of other consciousnesses, and there's nothing to say that, you know, because consciousness only exists in minds and whatnot.
Yeah, so everything might be conscious, and we don't know.
Maybe
this rug could be conscious.
Even if we accept your premise, and this is me being you know, a horrible monster because this isn't a point that actually needs to be belabored. I'm doing it anyways. But even if we accept the premise that God is the collective unconscious of all possible consciousnesses in the universe, it still doesn't change the fact that the unconscious has no impact on the physical reality and is about the same as saying that it doesn't exist.
But it still might know things.
But not really, because like in that sense, unconscious or the unconscious is an undifferentiated state, which again means like it has no... There's nothing to differentiate it from nothing. It's essentially the same thing. It's kind
of
like...
Yeah, but I know plenty of things that I don't use or don't affect the world in any way at all.
But that's kind of what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Your brain takes in infinite amounts of information constantly.
So what I'm hearing is that I'm right, so...
Well, that it doesn't matter. It's about the same as the solipsist argument. Like it doesn't matter if there is a solipsist that actually like is the only real one, because it has to treat everything in the world it experiences as real, because that's how the world works. So even if we are all fragments and can't, there's no way to tell who would be the solipsist. There's no way to tell who would be the fragments. So you essentially have to interact with the world.
Well, I'm the solipsist.
Well, maybe.
Really must feel good to God too. He does it all the time, and are we not created in God's image?
I collect church collapses.
Yes, that was a really nice element that they added in.
That was good.
Anyway,
like that he collects church collapses.
So in the big questions, is that what we're going on?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Easy topic.
So God doesn't know where we're going with this. Who may or may not be my sister.
God is probably not your sister.
But she might be. So, bitches and hoes?
Do bitches and hoes make you feel powerful?
Well, it's gendered language.
And the point of that is to make you feel superior to bitches and hoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And of course, hoes are women who don't put out. And
I thought hoes were the ones that put out.
No, hoes are the ones who
they
put just don't out.
Get paid for.
And bitches are the ones who put out except for you.
is that the distinction?
I believe so.
Oh, right, because if you do have sex with them and you don't care about them, they're just a hoe. But if they don't have sex with you, then they're okay. I get it.
Right,
I get it.
And it doesn't at all suggest that you have some sort of personality difficulty.
Oh no, no, I'm fine. Difficulty. I don't know.
I think you're fine, Daniel. I don't think sex needs to involve like long term romantic love. Sometimes it's just a connection of two bodies. For days on end.
And then the
questions
question,
you can hardly imagine.
Well, I mean, you know.
Tom's trying.
I am now.
Well, I can talk about some things about my recent experiences.
Listener, recently Daniel had sex.
Yeah.
A lot. I said to Amber, I think in the last 4 or 5 days, Daniel has had sex more than I have in a whole year of some relationships I've had.
I mean, I have no way to gauge that, especially because it's... I never really think it's the quantity so much as the quality, but...
This is true.
But also, like, I don't know, like, it was kind of interesting in the sense that it was very much like being the second chemical component to like, a two-part chemical solution where the reaction is sex. So
you're such a romantic, Daniel. I totally get that.
No, really, like, I don't know. I think it's probably exceedingly rare that you do happen to meet somebody who is like 100% compatible with, or the way I can describe it before, like, everything I wanted to do to this person was apparently exactly what they wanted done to them, which is really nice. you know, it's just no...
So profoundly down to fuck.
Yeah.
Nice!
Yeah. I don't know, it's... But it does, like, also simultaneously, like, everything about it reconfirms my general disbelief in meaningless sex, whether casual or not. And, you know, also kind of reconfirms, like, exactly why it wouldn't do much for me to just go pick somebody up at a bar necessarily, because I am very picky.
That is true.
And, you know, and unfortunately in this case, like, this experience has probably set an exceedingly high bar for
you hear that, ladies? High bar. I don't know why I act like the listeners are gonna fuck Daniel. They might. I don't know.
I mean, I don't... Even though the person I was with is not at all, you know, sort of shy about probably most things that I would actually be willing to talk about, I also don't necessarily want to talk about somebody that's not here.
No, I completely support that.
Yeah, Tom, stop embarrassing Daniel.
Oh, no, he said fine talking about this.
I really honestly don't experience embarrassment.
Consideration for the... Yeah. Potential emotional needs.
And what's funny is I'm pretty sure that even on that point, like, I'm probably more paranoid than I need to be on it.
I'm sure.
It'd be more like excuses to talk from the soapbox, but you know, I can talk about sort of technical details in the sense of so Tantra is an interesting subject that I you know, this is probably the first time in my life that any of the things that I've absorbed from my interest in that practice have actually been relevant. But, you know, it can kind of be boiled down to, like, the very simple thing that, like, so for most people who don't know, like, Tantra has been kind of very popular in pop culture, which is a redundancy, or it's kind of gained some popularity because, like, you know, some celebrities have kind of picked it up. It's an obscure sex magic religion, so of course it's like seems like it's going to be spooky and awesome, and then it turns out that, one, it's exceedingly hard to figure out what exactly it is or what exactly it's purporting to do for you. And on the other hand, there's, you know, everybody that would tell you the secrets wants to charge you way too much money. So to cut through the first part, if you've ever done edging, then you know the main, you know, one of the main components of the practice of tantric sex. It's you get yourself as close to orgasm as you can. And then you try to get yourself to a point where you can stay at the transition state before you actually experience, for men, ejaculation. Women have a completely different experience because their orgasms work completely differently. But it's a similar idea. But even that is still actually, if you want to get to, you know, the actual deeper concept of it, is about... Oh, do we have a kitty?
No, we're good.
Okay. But even that is just kind of, it's the main thing it's trying to teach you is once you get to that state is the next step is trying to expand the sensation of pleasure throughout your entire body and learning how to do that. It's very similar to if you've ever, you know, sat quietly and listened to your pulse and then tried to hear or feel it in another extremity of your body, which you can do by thinking about whatever that extremity is. For instance, if you hold a finger up and think about the finger, it does usually, especially at first, require, you know, being in a quiet space. But you can eventually begin to feel the pulse in your finger because you're
oh yeah,
you're literally focusing your consciousness on that specific limb.
Listeners, it's okay if you're doing that right wait, now. We were okay. doing yes. it too.
Wait. So about feeling your pulse in other places or hearing it? What were you saying?
That's kind of an analogy
hearing
for
with your finger. I kind of zoned out.
Okay.
You're not supposed to admit that.
No, it's fine, because otherwise then...
But, so it's weird to be able to feel your pulse wherever it is?
So I guess it's not really that it's weird knowledge so much as just uncommon knowledge. Like, there's... You'd be unlikely to come across that in your standard education. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that either, like me, you just kind of do accidentally and then maybe find out one day, oh, that's an actual thing that other people have done and you can kind of learn how to mm-hmm. do. Or, you know, you get taught.
I wasn't taught. Thinking about it, it was probably just a natural extension of breathing and meditation exercise.
Yeah, and you know, again, I didn't think of it that way, but essentially I was doing the same thing. I was sitting there and listening, and you know, it's a thing you notice after a while. But really, that was all just kind of get to that sort of when you learn how to control your you know, awareness of your body like that, like that's a skill that you learn in Tantra and you pick up in Tantra. And the idea there is that if you focus the right way and with the right intent, I guess, like, you know, touching your fingertip to your lover's fingertip can feel about as good as, you know, touching their genitals or vice versa. And it is one of those kind of weird things where you still pick up a lot of things from it, but it's a completely different experience when you're with somebody that also has that awareness, either naturally or not, or doesn't. Because if they don't, then there's just a lot of things that you can kind of get out of it that they might not be able to pick up on or share with. And it might... And yes, for the love of God, don't ever try to, like, you know, convince your partner to pick up on it if they're not interested, because it's just going to make you both miserable. And, you know, and then, of course, like the basic thing of do your Kegels because body control is important. But really, it's all about that focus. And on the religious side of it, which you can actually take or leave, it's kind of irrelevant to the practice. The idea is that you learn how to make that feeling of pleasure kind of overtake all of your senses for a while. And in a way that it ends up being an extended orgasm that just doesn't include like ejaculation. Generally at like the longest I've ever gone was about 2 hours, which
should see Tom's face.
Yes.
Wow.
And again, like it definitely wasn't that was what I was aiming for. I just happened to notice when I started and when I stopped. But really, like, the other thing you kind of notice is if you do that for too long, after a while, you know, you probably will end up ejaculating, and it doesn't do anything. It's just, you just feel the contractions, and it's almost like you're burnt out from everything else, but not really burnt out. It's just, you get exhausted.
Yeah.
So it can be an interesting, you know, level of awareness to add to something that, you know, most people don't necessarily need, you know, to have, because generally speaking, there's no bad way to have sex other than, you know,
abusively.
Yes. you know, unless, you know, if you're doing something that's upsetting you, that's different. But, you know, otherwise, if you get pleasure out of it, then you're doing it right. And if your partners get pleasure out of it, you're doing it right. And that's really the only thing you should worry about.
So the first step is breathing. Second step is blood control.
Well,
and third is learning your organs.
Amber, blood bending is an evil
spell. Yeah. No, that
blood
was
blood control.
Yeah, we had a malfunction and we actually went off on a slight tangent. But no, I was mostly referencing that as it's a comparable skill level.
Okay.
Because like you can kind of learn the same thing. In Tantra it would be, you know, you practice pleasuring yourself until you get close to this point, and then when you can maintain being close to that point without, you know, going over into the muscle contractions, then you start, like, you know, you think about your hand and you kind of, because you're already, you know, in the state of heightened pleasure, you will feel it in your hand also.
Huh.
And then, you know, you kind of, the idea again is you try to spread that feeling to your entire body.
Yeah.
That's like the work of it. And you know, like anything else, you get what you put out of it, or you get out of it what you put into it. and it's generally just kind of useful at every step. But then again, it's entirely likely that it might not do anything for you, and that's fine. But yeah, the,
or it might be too much effort.
Yeah. but definitely for anything like that that requires like concentration, it is like the better you understand your own anatomy, the better you can use that sort of thing. Because if you can actually imagine what a kidney looks like, then it's much easier for you to kind of focus your consciousness on it, because you know roughly where it is and you know what it's supposed to look like, and that, you know, can
you say good work, kidney, you keep on kidneying.
Yes or your liver, or possibly your intestine. I've never tried the intestines before, but I could definitely isolate like either of my kidneys and my liver, and trying to think a few other little, like, it is, you know, the smaller and the weirder the organ, the harder it is to actually like feel it.
Like your pancreas.
Yes. Yeah. So mostly like it's really like, you know, okay, so now my feet, and then now my hands, and then maybe a specific finger on my hand, or while you're laying down, especially, like it's much easier to do the head, you know, and feel like, you know, different parts of your face, which can, depending on, you know, how congested you are, is can be like somewhat uncomfortable, because then you actually feel the pressure of everything. Yeah.
Did you know I can touch the largest organ in your body?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm touching it right now. Touching the largest organ obscene. On your body.
She is touching my body. Penis, just so we're clear.
Yes.
No, I'm touching his skin. Yes. Which is on his penis, but at the moment I was touching his foot.
Well, I feel like you just acknowledged. No. It felt like you were acknowledging for touching my penis.
Yeah. I was touching your foot.
Yes. Although, I mean, really, since the skin is like one unbroken sack. 14
inches
you're...
hard, Tom.
That's... Sorry.
I was referencing something Tom said earlier about handling.
Oh, okay.
What was that? What did I say?
It's about 5 inches long or something, and then Hannibal said 7.5 hard or something. I have no idea.
This must be from...
No, he was just saying it after like something we watched on Hannibal.
That's okay. Likely. Okay. Some have Hannibal often turns dirty in my head.
Well,
it's easy.
Yeah, there's so much innuendo.
Especially the one we just watched. We just watched the episode that you know, Hannibal bangs Alana. And Will bangs Margot.
Yeah.
To get her pregnant.
But I don't think that's not why he was banging her, but that was why she was banging him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, I know, but like she doesn't actually have a baby.
No.
No.
Spoilers.
Which, thinking about it, so the part we don't see is that Margot has to have been like tracked ovulation cycle to be like, yeah, so she'll bang him tonight.
Probably.
Or might have been. I guess she doesn't have to have.
So.
But...
No. Is she specifically banging him so she will create a little psychopath?
No. The it's so that, well, that whole plot line revolves around Mason is the sole male heir.
I know. I'm just saying, like,
Margot just likes him. Like, he's attractive, right. I guess.
But she's also aware that he is Hannibal Lecter's patient. Yeah. And so he probably is really screwed up.
Yeah, although I guarantee, like, depending on how much the Deviator character from the books, it's just so that she can have something to get out from under Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because no, it's definitely that, but we mean, like, why him? why not some other guy?
Probably because there is, like, some interest, and also he's available and would be sympathetic to, you know, her situation.
Her plight.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. The
Catherine Isabel is an attractive woman, and, you know, if I were single and she came to me, I'd be down. I saw her in Ginger Snap, so. I do like lesbians.
Yeah.
It's true.
I like banging them sometimes.
They like banging me. What can I say? I have a gift.
That's how it happens.
I'm like a transitional. Yeah. When I was a teenager, there were at least two friends of mine who said they were lesbians. But they would still try to screw around with me. And I'm like, you know what? I think maybe you're not 100% lesbian if you keep changing in front of me and then being like, man, if I didn't have a girlfriend right now.
Yeah, that's... Although, you can probably also chalk that up to, you know, just being young and not knowing what the fuck you want. And,
yeah, it's true.
Because that's pretty shitty to do.
On the other hand, I did see boobs. And I was cool with that part.
True,
so,
yes, yes. So it seems to have worked out for all of you, but
for the most part,
most people like seeing boobs.
Yeah, it's true.
They are nice.
Especially babies.
But I was, yeah, that's kind of, I think that is like one of the basic premises behind why everybody kind of likes boobs. And that's because, you know, true. You've probably had pleasant experiences with them as a baby.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And, like, it has to be genetic, too, because definitely, like, Adeline, who has never been breastfed, has occasionally tried to take my shirt off. Like, no, Adeline, stop.
Yeah.
But now I mean, you've discovered that I can control babies with my mind.
I should have guessed. I should have guessed.
Yeah, what sort of, like, you know, moral quandaries? Well, actually, no, I guess they're pretty clear cut. You know, using another's body for your own. Like sexual deviancy.
Hey, I'm a sexomniac. I don't even know, Daniel.
Wait, were you sleeping at the time you were mind controlling this baby? Because.
Or maybe the baby was.
Full of iron and I'm Magneto?
No. Yep.
Could be.
Full of blood and I'm Katara? The baby know. Was
like
full
a
of
medium?
Blood. Okay.
You see, like.
Oh, like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
She was infected by your latent sexual impulses.
Like Poltergeist.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I haven't seen these things. So
no, I mean actual Poltergeist.
No, Poltergeist.
So. Actual Poltergeist, the majority of cases involve there's just a hormonal girl who's being repressed, and for some reason she gets telekinesis. I've read Carrie. And that's what happens.
Oh, the X-Files definitely did an episode about that. Mm-hmm. And in that case, it was like twin girls. There were so many X-Files episodes. It's hard to keep them straight.
Yeah.
And that's how you bang your lady good.
Yes.
Bang your lady.
Mannequin fingers.
Yeah. Are there any, like, I wonder about how many different religions have sexual, like, subgenres.
It depends. Well, okay. It depends on your perspective on how the history of religions have developed. Mm. But. The real answer is all of them.
Yeah.
Because they
all...
Do
you consider bundling boards a kind of bondage?
Yeah. or just even consider the basic premise behind Mass. You bring your congregation together. You bring them to a fever pitch of worship and intensity. Mm-hmm. And then they let it out in you know, adulation for the Lord or whatever, and then they all go home.
You go to some weird exhausted. Masses, Daniel, because all of mine have been boring.
And then the Lord puts a little bit of his flesh into their mouth.
Yeah, it's through. Basically
and they
like
swallow.
Except okay, but I mean like actual sex acts. Like in Christianity there wouldn't be as much of that,
well,
right?
Well the
there's
thing,
self
it
I
depends
guess.
Again, it depends on like what how you see the history of Christianity coming about. If you can see all of the things that Christianity has just crusted over and borrowed, then, you know, most of the ceremony, even the basic posture of the prayer posture,
mm-hmm.
you're combining the left and the right hand together in a very specific gesture that even though it's been buried is sexual in its nature. Like it's,
I guess.
Remember,
what?
It's easiest to please the Lord on one's knees.
Yes.
How is this sexual?
Well, again, it's
clapping isn't sexual, Tom.
No, but it's the most basic concept. The right hand has almost always been associated with the male. The left hand has almost always been associated with the female. When you bring those two together,
I think you're making things up now, Daniel.
Well,
wait, which hand is which? Because I need to know if I'm gay now.
Well, no. The basic trend you tend to see is you know the right hand is a male because
it's the proper hand,
and the left hand is often considered female. But it has to do more with in esoteric lore generally.
No, you wipe with
active...
your left hand so that because when you shake hands, you don't want to get poop on.
No, that's only in cultures where handshaking is a thing.
Well,
it's not universal.
Yeah,
but no,
wiping your ass.
I hope the wiping your ass is pretty universal.
But it isn't.
Not with paper.
But no. You know.
Well, like bidets and everything. Like, you don't necessarily...
Or the splashing cup that's apparently popular
in
South
countries.
American cultures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that.
But no, it goes back to that basic idea that you know, active energy is always assigned a male gender and reactive energy is always assigned a female gender, which is one of the things that I tend to discount because it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that is that is what you see. If you understand like the symbolism of it, it's
yeah.
You see plus, it
if you think like the active versus reactive, if you just think of like sex, right? Like you'd imagine, you know, guys banging a girl and the girl gets pregnant, which is a reaction right. to it.
Although what is kind of entertaining is with Tantra specifically, it's one of those religions that sort of you can see the shift happen from matriarchal to patriarchal, and uh-huh. that when you are a tantrika, when you practice the tantra, a big part of it was excising yourself from the social structure of, mm-hmm. of this would have been India because it's kind of one of the oldest religions yeah. there are. But a lot of the rites then included things that would by definition cut you out of the society you exist in. So mm-hmm. for instance, having sex in a graveyard, which makes you immediately untouchable because you're touching dead things and only the untouchable caste can do that. The forbidden act of having a woman be on top, which is, you know, would have been unthinkable.
If you have sex in a graveyard, you're probably not touching anything dead because they're probably buried.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's in the cult. But I guess that it is important to understand the culture that it came okay. from.
Yeah.
And in India, that was a thing. If
like
you
couldn't visit grave sites of your family,
you couldn't touch the dead. You weren't supposed to do anything in the graveyard other than what you were supposed to do. There okay. is that's kind of part of where the untouchable class comes from. Is they do all of the shit that you're not yeah. allowed to do if you want to remain in society. So that was an element. Again, like a really big element is having the woman be on top. Yeah. Like that position was forbidden because it you know, it's a man on the ground and you're letting woman be sky. That's unthinkable. It's awful. Mm-hmm. And what is kind of interesting is it's clear even from, you know, the practices of Tantra mm. that it would have been woman dominated beforehand. Similar to how like a lot of shaman, you know, traditions, you have the male shaman taking on the aspect of a female to kind of gain access to those things, mm-hmm. even though he's, you know, it'd be much easier to just let a woman do it. With tantrikas, it's the same deal. Like a lot of the initiation rites end up having you be like, you have to do a lot of things that would, you know, make you female.
Okay.
Like, you know, taking a phallus inside of yourself. In this case, it would be a stone phallus, so it's like Shiva's, but yeah, I like, don't know. It's
in your mouth or
no, like in your okay. in your rectum, because okay. that's all you got.
Well, I mean, you could still put it in your mouth. It's still taking yeah. it inside yourself.
But it doesn't count.
Okay.
yeah, it's very easy after studying Tantra to then see a lot of parallels in later religions that kind of. Because what you tend to see is an abstraction from the sexual elements.
Mm-hmm.
I guess kind of, okay. you know, ignoring the tantric
So like
thing.
A wand is a penis, yeah. basically.
No, it is, 100%.
And like cup is a, well, not, like it's an abstraction.
It's an, yes. Or, mm-hmm. you know, and then also like recognizing that the oldest carved figures we've ever found have always been, you know, sexual in nature.
Makes sense. Remember when I showed you the Sheila Nigig? I don't know where yeah. we were. It's the little clay figure that's like spreading its gigantic vagina.
Oh yeah, I think vaguely.
Yeah. I don't know where we saw that, but those used to be in churches all over yeah. England.
Well, because of course the big problem the church had was all of the sword and the quote-unquote peasant religions, they're all sex religions. It's you know, it's you get together in May and you have, you know, you dance around the maypole and almost all of them are just sort of like, okay, how we're gonna pick who we're gonna fuck tonight. Yeah. Valentine's yeah. Day, you know, the original quote-unquote the original practice of that was, you know, you pass paper to who you wanted to fuck that night depending on, you know, what your age was. Basically, they all the peasant religions kind of boil down to that. So what the church had to do then was, you know, they'd come in and they'd be like, oh no, see, your local gods and demons are actually just saints in our canon, so you can keep, you know, you can keep doing what you're doing, but be quiet about it, and it's you know, just say the names of our saints rather than, you know, so the giant, you know, the statue you have in your church that has the phallus that you whittle a piece of wood off of to, you know, have fertility for the rest of the year, it's cool, you can keep that, just make him saint whoever. Yeah, and you can, you know, you can still shave off pieces of his phallus.
wow.
Yeah, which is an actual thing.
I don't know, pieces of penis phallus wood.
I'm sure, yeah. actually, there's a Japanese penis museum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That you could probably, they probably honestly would have a wooden penis but from that time.
I want to shave bits of it off.
Well, actually, you can definitely go to Europe and just visit a lot of like surviving old churches and see these things just on display.
Because... But can I shave what off of them?
Probably not.
Actually, there are probably places where that's still a practice. Just
maybe
because...
they get like a new wooden penis every year or something.
The what it would be is there'd be a length of wood that would just be pushed up slowly through the statue. Similar to how the Weeping Marys are always, you know, mechanically weeping.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but of course it's a miracle.
So it'd be
if
like
you're
a
peasant.
Pencil?
But, well, bigger. It's like a large shaft of wood. But yeah, no, it would be principle.
Like a mechanical pencil.
Yeah.
It's like a broad, big Nagian circumcision.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So at the end of the day, the priest would go and push it up a few more inches to make sure that, you know.
And you know the priest... Like, more than once, just, like, centered himself right there, right at the end of the giant wooden penis, and he's like, I'm so big. Altar boys love me. Or hate me, I guess.
I don't know if there would have been altar boys at the time.
True.
Oh, who knows? There have pretty much always been, like,
I am
religious
not
servants. Servants of that kind.
Definitely. It was probably way more that as a priest you could get away with whatever the fuck you wanted because, you know, you had literal actual power to condemn anybody in your community to death if you wanted.
Yeah.
And
sort of on this topic, do you know about the Witch's Bible? Like, it's an actual book by Gavin and Yvonne Frost.
Maybe?
She's looking in the bookcase. We might actually have this. Anyway, in this book, among other things, they talk about the initiation ritual for, like, young witches.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically involves you fuck your 13-year-old daughters. You fuck them with a dildo, but you fuck them. You get them used to that, because that's what the god wants. And, you know, if you're a little boy, you're going to have sex with an older woman, with the high priestess. Everyone gets to watch this. And a lot of people are like, wow, you witches suck. You're horrible. So a lot of people, like, They distance themselves from Gavin and Yvonne Frost. Mm. And even in, like, subsequent editions of this book, they still basically say that. Like, I think they're a little more euphemistic. But sure, like, you totally have to. Like, when you pubesce, you've got to have sex with the high priest.
Wow.
I'm like, you're making it sound real creepy there, guys.
Well, it's kind of similar to how...
It is still pretty creepy, depending on how it's done.
Well... A good thing to remember about most of what we consider witchcraft and things like that is that the majority of it was dreamt up by sexually repressed priests who had no fucking clue what they were talking about.
True.
And just had no other way to get out their fantasies.
So if you're saying you're a witch, do not propagate stuff that sounds like the Jewish blood libel, right? Can we not do that?
Or, you know, just do a little bit of research. Like
impossible. Llewellyn published a book. It has to be true.
No, okay.
We got off topic of, like, religious servants, sort of. Not really.
Okay.
But I was thinking of, what is it? Like, the Vestal Virgins?
Yes.
That apparently you just banged them, right?
Well, yeah. So originally, the Temple Virgins, the whole concept of, like, that's another weird transition.
Mm-hmm.
The transition from virginity as... You know, just meaning a woman who was unmarried. Yes, exactly. To, you know, sexually unexperienced. Like, that's a weird thing.
And I would feel like that second definition of virginity would be almost unheard of in the more ancient world.
Oh, completely.
That's what you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, again, actually, as Amber was saying, like, the Vestal Virgins, the entire point of them was that you spent a night with the goddess, which, yes, you would sleep with one of the priestesses.
Give them the coin.
Yes, and
they're
and
sacred prostitutes. That's awesome.
Pretty much, and in a lot of cultures,
profession.
It would have been like the normal thing is that most women would have spent a year at the temple, probably performing the service, because much like a lot of older religious worship, when you're performing the service and you're acting as the deity's agent, you're supposed to be actually the deity's agent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're no longer yourself. There's nothing associated with you necessarily other than that you're acting as a vessel for whatever the god is, which you see a lot in like cultures that use masks and things like
that's cool.
Part
yeah.
of it is it helps
and you know if you
with...
get pregnant that's the god's child and it pretty much is like immediately clergy.
Oh well, actually another amusing anecdote about, you know, all the peasant fuckery is that was a thing. It's like children born from nights where, you know, people were feeling the fury of the gods in whatever format they were feeling it were considered, you know, children of the gods. The firstborn, you know, that's one of the reasons that there's kind of a weird thing about it. You had no idea who the father would be, so it was just God's children, you know.
The firstborn?
A lot of times, yeah. You know, if you have your first sexual experience at one of these nights, then your first child is going to be of mixed parentage, in the sense that you would have no way to tell.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I never heard of firstborn as in being used that way. I always see, like, if you make a deal with the devil, it's you, your firstborn is given up.
That's where chronology is important, because you have to remember any instances of, like, that being an element of the devil, that comes along only when the Catholic Church gains power. And not just the devil.
I mean, like Rumpelstiltskin, which isn't...
Yeah. It's Germanic.
It's Germanic. Yeah. Yeah. So he's not really a devil, is what I mean.
Yeah. He's like an imp, really. Yeah. Which is sort of like a low-level demon. And I mean,
I think we're mixing pantheons here.
I don't think we are, especially because all of that sort of comes under the, oh, you have this old pagan worship. Demons.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Demons are saints. If we want them, they're saints. If we don't, they're demons.
Right.
Sometimes we make a different version for both.
Yeah. But when you think about...
horrible demon.
If you think about the story of Rumpelstiltskin, basically like, I have made this infernal deal with you, and I want a child out of it, but if you figure my name out, then the deal is done. Because you see in a lot of, you know, the old, like, oh, if you know a demon's name, you have power over it.
Yeah. Name magic is another one of those, like, exceedingly, you find it almost as far back as you go.
There's one book that I read about, like, I don't know, he's just some, like, a goblin or something. I don't remember it specifically what he was. But he would make firstborn deals with people just because, like, that's what he did in this universe. Yeah. So he just, like, had so many children to take care of. And he was like, I don't even know what to do with them. I keep trying to make people take them back, and they don't.
Right. Well, what he'd have to start doing is, like, have it including a wet nurse with it or something. Or a babysitter.
Yeah. Wet nurses are weird things, too.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Well,
that's okay.
You know, it also, I mean, but that depends on how your culture deals with child rearing. You know,
there are still wet nurses. Like, it's still a thing.
Yeah. But I guess I was thinking more like again, in tribal culture, it wouldn't have been unusual for, you know, you to suckle whatever child happened to be nearby and hungry at the time. So that'd actually be like,
that's true.
A communal sharing of you know, antibodies.
That would be, antibodies. That might be good.
Yeah. Well, they do, you know, it's kind of definitely getting off topic, but that's one of the negative effects of the concept of the atomic family and having, you know, the small family group that isolates you from your culture and from your community, because you're just supposed to be a self-contained unit.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to go backwards, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely caused some issues.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. But, like, wet nurses sometimes often were... servants, at least, like, gave birth, and, like, often they wouldn't breastfeed their own kid. They'd breastfeed a rich person's kid they're being paid for.
Because rich people, am I right? Fuckers.
Yep. Or they'd, like, you know, maybe they didn't usually, like, I think sometimes maybe they would have aborted their own child, you know. But they wouldn't necessarily be able to give milk as well.
I think if there were still, you know, a child suckling, I believe that still stimulates production.
Well, I mean, starting it. Like, if I started sucking my nipples, I wouldn't start creating milk, even though I've never given birth.
Actually, maybe.
If I did, it probably wouldn't be good.
Maybe not. But it is, like it's entirely possible for a man to lactate. Like, that's a whole other weird, like,
but usually it's a genetic, like, it's an accidental, like, hormonal issue.
Hormonal issue. But you know, I think it's not actually that hard to stimulate lactation artificially.
But isn't it like, humans are weird. It would have to be like meds or something, wouldn't it?
I just realized like this is veering into area where territory where
it's medical knowledge.
I have anecdotes, but they're from sources that I can't, you know, state with fact other than incidentally like a lot of things I'm talking about, a really good reference although it's not, you can't take it as scientific rigor, but Barbara Walker's The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets.
You really push that book.
It's a really good book. Even because again, even if it's say, even if it's 75% inaccurate, mm-hmm. it's still the only thing trying to purport its perspective of, you know, a history of the esoteric and, mm-hmm. and a history of religion from a female perspective, as opposed to just looking at it from, you know, the male dominated perspective. Mm-hmm. And even though some elements like the, you know, the universal goddess theory might not hold as much water as the book would purport, but at the same time, it's not integral to a lot of the stuff you get out of it. Because a lot of what she does is just take an idea like virginity and then look at the history of how it's been presented yeah. through multiple, you know, cultures and religions. And
when I was little...
It's also super depressing.
Oh. When I was little, I knew a lot about unicorns. Mm. Specifically, I knew that you had to be a virgin mm-hmm. to attract a unicorn. So I was at the cloisters, which, you know, is the unicorn type, which is what I was all about. Yeah. And she was talking to us about, you know, how it would be a maiden. I was like, yeah, the maiden would have to be a virgin. And, like, the tour guide is like, yes? And, like, did not know how to handle it. I didn't know what virgin meant.
You just knew it was a prerequisite.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder, for those who are unicorn catching, if it was an unmarried or a sexually pure, which one? By then, it probably would be both, right?
Yeah, I mean, because
it's medieval.
Right. And by that time, the concept of women as property would have been well established.
Yeah.
Also, and the whole, a unicorn was often a stand-in for Jesus. Yeah. So he would want you to keep your legs crossed.
Tom.
Yeah.
I like unicorns more than I like Jesus.
I know you do.
Yeah, that's okay, because, like...
And you know. Don't rain on my unicorn parade with Jesus.
But eventually, Jesus becomes an alicorn.
Did you know, also, several girls pricked their fingers to put blood on their sheets, because you're supposed to, after you get married, you're supposed to, like, put your sheet outside to show, yes. like, look, she was bleeding, she's yes. totally pure beforehand.
Which... I just put out the Japanese flag.
And your neighbors would just be confused because they're like, are they Japanese? I mean, that's the old one. Like, no.
That flag looks awfully bloody.
Yeah. 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 Virginity culture is like another interesting topic because, you know, nothing works that way.
No.
None of it. Yeah. Since Amber brought it up. Yes. It's like bleeding is not necessarily normal. Or even if you do, perhaps, it might not be that much. You might not even notice.
Yeah.
You're perfectly normal.
I don't know. I assume it's one. I don't know. I have to do research on this topic.
Yeah. Well, it's like, along with the myths tend to go with the idea that the hymen is like a sheet that covers yeah. the opening. And it's not. It's yes. it's.
I actually got a Tumblr question today inquiring why Shane's hymen did not rejuvenate itself.
Oh.
Yeah, after the events of Dance Macabre, but I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not playing like Word of God on my character's vaginas.
Yeah.
Though we did personally, we figured out why, but yes. I guess yeah. we're going to save it because we don't want to Word of God it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's okay. Like, it's sort of explained in the book that, you know, Shane accepts that injury. Like, yeah. she wants that change, so it doesn't replenish itself.
Yeah. Or she just rode a lot of horses when she was little.
She could have.
Yeah.
Except that's not in the canon. She yeah. swam a lot, but I don't think that she got a water jet in her
actually it's
any physical activity. Yeah,
any physical activity that's strenuous could result in that effect, which
I had a friend in high school who was at his sister's, I think, dance recital, either dance or gymnastics. And she was probably like 7 or 8, and she did a split, and she came up, and she was bloody right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, yep, that's what happened.
He broke your hymen?
She right. broke her hymen.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's also not uncommon for, like if your hymen is actually like a sheet, and it's not, like, tearing, then don't force it, for the love of God.
But, no, like, doctors, you can actually go to a doctor and him be like, let me just deal with this.
No, that's actually what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
See, I guess I'll talk about my personal experience. I just assumed I wouldn't have a hymen anymore because I've done tons of physical activity. And the weird thing is, I didn't have any blood the first time. I did the second time.
Oh, wow.
Weird, yeah. Right?
Well, it is even possible that it just didn't, like, you didn't have any actual tearing the first time.
Yeah, it like, just wasn't, like,
it can, or something. You know, yeah, you can sort of get it. It's like any other skin. You can get it to kind of stretch if you have
yeah. doing things. So like I'm just like, I don't know what that is. But yeah, like, I just assumed, because I've ridden horses and did all the things that are supposed to get rid of it. I wouldn't have one anymore. Yeah.
Not now all I don't. The things.
Not all the things. It's true, it's true. I hadn't done that one thing. It's true.
The loophole? Is that what we're talking about?
No, not the loophole.
We're talking about, you know, actual bang, which is got rid of it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, again, like, it's still weird that that's how it's thought of. It's like oh, it's this thing about myself I have to discard or give to someone else or
true, like how virginity is, yeah. Like, give your virginity to a special person. You can never get it back.
We've talked before about, like, the absurdity of that whole thing. Of, like, like, somehow you're supposed to have never had sexual experience, but also be, like a sex goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Even though there's no way for you to figure out any of that stuff.
For my ego, I'd like if I could go back and be like, hey, high school girlfriend, just give me one chance just to prove that I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's always kind of a thought. Like, whenever, you know, you've picked up new things and understand new things, like, you do kind of want to go back and you know. Like,
so how many sex levels did you get this week, Daniel? How much did you level up?
It's at least 9,000.
But not over?
Not over, no. No, I mean, really, that was... man,
it was
I don't know.
Culmination. It was a final exam as opposed to I don't know, the actual learning. I don't know.
Well, and also things. I mean that is to me it's interesting thinking about like how much of it was just our particular chemistry and how much of it was, you know, because I am, because of having gotten interested in tantra and all that, like I'm very interested in intense small sensations. So like I will spend, you know, several hours just like okay, so like an illustration. So like kissing, for instance, it's something that you can do that can be just sort of like oh, here's my warm wet lips on your warm wet lips, and it's really good. But it can also be like, oh, I'm gonna spend, you know, a minute, say, like trying to feel every feature of the bridge of your upper lip, and you know, because you have the two peaks there, sort of, and then the little valley, and just see what that's like, and then maybe, like, you know, check out the corner of your mouth, or, you know, your lips, or see, like, you know, how lightly can I use my lips to touch like just the very edge of impact. Is that
and then you interrupt it all by biting them.
Well, yes.
No,
yes.
You do that.
Well, but actually, yes, like that is kind of a big part of it, is like with sensation play is you know, you have to go peaks and valleys, and then, you know, it's definitely important to be aware of like how much biting the other person likes, and like how much pressure they like, and how much pressure you like, and come to a, you know,
an equilibrium.
Yes. Yes.
I dated a woman and she liked pain. And this was a very hard concept for me to wrap my head around. Because she's like, no, you can bite that harder. I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't. No, bite it hard.
Yeah.
No. No, bite it hard. Fine.
Well, yeah, like that's definitely a thing, is like learning the art of not leaving a mark. It's very difficult.
Yes.
No, I mean, like, with the, like, at first you left marks all over me, now you don't as much.
Yeah.
So it's like
is gone.
No, I think it's just learning not to bruise me everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely...
Embarrassed me on family vacation.
Aw.
You liked it.
Oh, no, that one was worse. Let's put the sticker back.
All right, tell that story.
Yeah, okay. You have to. No,
so we went on family vacation after like 2 weeks of officially dating or something. I don't know.
Like a month.
Fine.
Go on.
And I had like stickers. I took a sticker or something. I was wearing like tank top and my arm was all bruised up. And I had a Spider-Man sticker from one of the nephews. Mm. So I stuck it on, the worst one. And we went out to lunch at
Dick's.
It's just called Dick's. Okay, just Dick's. Where, if you haven't heard of Dick's, the entire point is for the waiters and waitresses to be dicks to you.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, oh, you're so bruised up, like, or like, bring your new girlfriend family vacation, like, and harassing him about it. And he's like, here, I'll make it better. And like, took the sticker off that I had hiding a worse bruise to cover the other bruise. And she's like, oh no, that one's worse.
Yeah, I genuinely think the waitress is like, oh my god, is this a domestic violence situation? Like, and I don't think she thought it was like a sexy thing. I think she did.
I don't know. Because then she did cover it with a piece of paper that said, don't ask. Because that's what they do. Like, they have like dunce cones they're supposed to make for people and stuff.
Yes.
That's pretty hilarious.
That happened. And then my mom was afraid I would get cancer because he kept bruising my arm in the same place.
That's not how that works.
It's sort of like, if you think, like, I guess technically it can work that way, because if just one set of cells like constantly repairing itself, you might come up with a mutation.
I do think that's kind of similar to how you just get cancer if you live long enough, because that's how your cells work.
Yep.
Oh, apparently they figured out that like the mechanism that elephants use to not get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that they tend to have a lot of copies of their DNA, like, mm-hmm. in their system.
Weird.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Weird. So they just don't get cancer?
Yeah. Well, because again, like, what cancer usually is like a breakdown in the pattern. DNA. Yeah.
So they make. Weird. So, how long do elephants live?
I don't actually know. I know they're very long lived. Probably, which is kind of unusual for large land animals, because usually the lifespan tends to go down the bigger they are.
Yeah.
Except for blue whales, but you know, true. They're blue whales.
So do blue whales have like the longest lifespan?
Isn't it turtles?
Turtles?
Yeah. I think there's some tortoises that have. And that could also be a component of, like,
how,
you know,
slower
metabolisms.
Live? Like, hundreds of years?
No, because there was the tortoise that it was alive since Darwin, like, died not too recently.
Yeah.
And had, like, a little baby. I saw a picture. It had a 200-year-old tortoise, and then on its head was its 4-week-old baby or something. Yeah. 4-day-old baby.
So tiny.
Yeah. So like a hat.
Yeah, trees are definitely, like, still the longest lived organisms, period.
That's true. Especially redwoods, right?
Yeah.
They have the largest difference between seed size and final growth state.
Yeah.
Do they have a final growth state? Like, most trees max out. Do redwoods max out?
I'm pretty sure there's an upper limit based on available resources. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, I'm sure that they could just keep growing after a while. It also probably slows way down. They're like D&D dragons. Once they're an ancient, then they, you know, they don't necessarily gain stats as fast as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Yep.
Just like that, yeah. Daniel, final thoughts.
When you're with your significant other, just go real slow, like, and just focus on that, what it feels like. Also, you know, foot rubs, postcoital foot rubs, do it. It's good for you both.
Okay. I had a teacher once who insisted that people had foot fetishes because their brains were mapped weirdly, so that their genital map and their foot map were the same map. I'm like, I don't think that's science, madam.
No, I think that's just, you know, playing under the table as a kid, maybe.
Could be.
And have it happening to...
Yeah.
Who knows?
Amber, final thoughts.
I was about to say Tom, final thoughts. My final thoughts are, I guess I'm going to have to go Google... tantric sex and where my organs are.
Tom, final thoughts. My final thoughts are that religion can screw up sex, but at the same time, I've definitely had sex with some repressed women who are really kinky.
Tom, where did you put my organs? Where are they?
They're in the toilet cistern, I'm sorry.
The toilet cistern?
Yes, take... Is that, take the appendix, leave the gun.
Is that what you're using instead of a water heater?
Yes.
Okay. Let me know.
I thought it would have been jars.
Well, he creates clones of me. Apparently now they're being created in the toilet cistern instead of the water
heater. Well, I have to assemble them later.
Yeah.
Because I can't put a whole Amber in the toilet cistern.
It's true. I mean, you're tiny, but you're not that tiny.
Yeah.
So you do it in the toilet cistern and maybe recompose them in our water heater, but because you don't want me in there too long because it's a public one.
Yeah.
Although you can make a bigger Amber in there because it's bigger.
Yeah, but I don't. I like the size Amber.
Do you try and squish two embers in at once, and then no. you just ended up with a
Well, I did try that once, but then when it had like a little snub nose, yeah, that's and what it I was gonna say. Yeah, it wasn't as good. Mm-hmm. I just had to put that one back in.
You could have just fixed your nose, Tom.
It seemed like too much work.
Mm. Instead, we ate her.
Mm. We had for dinner today. Amber parts.
Mm. It tastes like chicken.
Yeah, good stuff.
Bye!